Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
And now I'm delighted to welcome back to the show musician Tolu McKay. Hi, Tolu.
Hello. Hi, Brendan.
So we asked you to pick five pieces of music for us today that tell us something about you, I guess. So, Tolu, even people who don't listen to much pop music or anything will remember that you did this version of N17 by the Saw Doctors, did it with the RTE Concert Orchestra, that blew up into one of those pandemic things. But the thing about it was, it really moved people with your voice, uncommonly so. Do you remember, like, as a child, a moment where people first noticed that you could sing, that you moved people like that?
Yes. I think the earliest I can remember was maybe when I was 8, when my uncle told me to come and sing in church. But then another moment when I was 10 in primary school, we had a music teacher come in. I think she was Romanian. And she asked every one of us to sing Happy Birthday individually. And then she got me to sing Happy Birthday. I mean, everyone was singing Happy Birthday. It's Happy Birthday. And then she stopped and she, like, really was like, wow, your voice is amazing. You need to do a solo. Because, you know, at the end of, like, a school, like, year, the kids come together and they do, like, a presentation with the family. So I was asked to, like, lead a song. And that was probably the first time I noticed someone outside of church. Because church is like family. Like, you know, everyone tells you you can sing, but you don't believe them until, like, someone from outside that doesn't know anything about you, like, really recognize you in the midst of other people doing the same thing that you're doing. I think that was the first time I really recognized, oh, okay, maybe I can sing.
So church then, because the first song you've picked is by a Nigerian gospel singer. Mm. Was church and that gospel tradition, was that huge in your life
huge.
When you were a kid?
Yeah, that was my culture. That was my identity. That was everything to me. Yeah, that song, the artist that I picked in particular, her name is Tokwe Alabi. And she, if you speak to any Yoruba family, anyone, they will know this woman.
Just explain to me. So Yoruba, is that ethnicity within Nigeria or tribe?
So it's a tribe. It's a language within Nigeria. And there's several different tribes and languages. But the top three would be like Igbo, Yoruba and Hausa. I'm Yoruba. So the language and the tribe is, that's my sector. So with Tokwe Alabi, she is a gospel artist. And it's just one of those, it's like the way everyone knows like ABBA, or you would know like Sinead O'Connor, or you'd know like someone that's really pinnacle within like what it means to be like Irish. It's the same way like Tokwe Alabi was like pinnacle to what it means to be in a Yoruba specifically, and also someone that believed in like God. And my granny was the one that played this artist all the time. And I remember it just being like such a big highlight to my childhood.
Okay, so let's have a listen to it. So this is called Nigbati Moro O by Tokwe Alabi.
Latinu oyun titi domo wo gba mo wa lomo wo awon tagba mi gbe iku o pa mi iṣan marun mo ra koro dele olodi awon ti o fe n wa ye rara baba o so mi ore re yi o la kawe lati ra koro titi domo irise o so mi o titi mo fi wa
Yeah. That's Nigbati Moro'o by Tope Alibi, and that's Tolu McKay's first choice today. That's quite cool for church music, is what I'm thinking. Is she praising God there?
Yeah,
in that
she's
song,
praising God. She's saying, like, anytime I think about, like, my life, I can see the goodness of God, like, mercy over me, over my life. That's basically what the song means. And I suppose it's not that it's necessarily like what people would be singing in church. I mean, Nigerian churches, we definitely find a way to make it fun, make it very musical. But it's the messages, it's the story behind it that I think it makes you think about your own life, and like you can put yourself in the context of this artist in particular. But she's just... I don't know. She's quite iconic in what she does because she's huge. Like, she is what Celine Dion will probably be to so many other people, to like us Nigerians. She's incredible.
Okay. And do you have a big connection with your grandmother? Is she very important in your life? Yeah.
My who, sorry?
Your grandmother.
Yes.
Who introduced you to this.
Yeah. So I remember when she came and was helping us out here in Ireland. I was like maybe 10, 11. And she, if it wasn't for her, I don't think I'd be able to understand or speak Yoruba. Like, I remember she would always have like cassettes with her because I think she loved music. Like, I don't yeah. you know those little small cassette
yeah,
players.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
she'd have like these little, like, she'd carry this thing. I don't know what it's called, like a player, a cassette player.
Yeah.
And she'll blast the music every single day. And I used to get annoyed by it, but she had these cassettes in her, like in hundreds. And the only artist that was on it was Tokwe Alabi. That's why I remember her. But also, it was in the Yoruba language, and with her speaking to us, and you know, it being so ingrained in my childhood, I think was the first time that I felt very connected or part of my culture in some way. Because before then, since I moved, I had never been back to Nigeria. So the first time I had any context of what home was back in Nigeria, my culture, was my grandmother.
Have you been back much since?
Yeah.
Your second choice then is... by the way, before we move on, mm-hmm. did your grandmother sing in one of your songs as well?
She did, yeah. yes. I got her to send me a voice note during the pandemic because I wanted to go back to Nigeria and like record her. And she sang in a song of mine called Aye, which means life in Yoruba. And the kids in there, they're all Yoruba. They're from... they're from Nigeria as well, so I got them to record that. So my mom got my granny to just do like a voice note, and then I used that voice note and clipped it into the song so you
Excellent.
Can hear it.
Okay, second choice. This is a different world entirely then. Strawberry Swings by Frank Ocean. Where does this bring you to?
It's nostalgic. I think Frank Ocean reminds me of like my, like when I was 14, 15, in my room, closing the door, don't want to be disturbed by anyone, just want to like cry and soak up all the emotions I could feel in like my own space. And I think the reason why I chose the song was because it was just, I think it was the first time that I cried to a song that I could remember. Like, you know, when you cry and you're like, why am I so emotional about this? And I still don't know why exactly I am emotional about this song, but there's something just so perfect about it, about how it sang, how it feels. I think it was the first time I recognized
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it makes you feel.
Kind of captures a kind of nostalgia of something yeah. from childhood as well, doesn't it? And it's from, so this would have been like his early mixtapes kind of thing before mm-hmm. he became a. So,
yes.
So how were you finding music when
YouTube.
You were a kid?
YouTube yeah? was my, like, that's where I was like, that. I think I was one of those like nerds that would literally be on my laptop all the time. I remember like Tumblr used to be a huge thing. I would learn how to code so I could put music on my web, so that whenever people would click onto my web, the first thing you would see is like music. But I remember like just going onto YouTube, learning how to like get like types of music, type of beats, and then like writing my own songs from those beats. So YouTube was like a huge part of me discovering like music and what type of music I like to listen to, or what moves me, or why I was so emotive. I think I've said this before, music was just a way for me to like express myself and really feel my own emotions, because I didn't have a safe space for that. So I think maybe that's why Frank Ocean and that music, that era, it just encapsulates that era for me as a child. Yeah,
because we touched on this the last time we spoke. I think you talked about I don't know, would you call it shyness or introversion about reducing yourself to fit in and all that?
I think maybe it was identity crisis, because I didn't really know where I fit in. I mean, you know, I'm a kid, I'm coming, like, you don't really think about these things when you're a child, you're just existing. And like, now that I'm an adult, I'm trying to like piece that or understand what that means for me. So, you know, growing up, you're a kid, you're just trying to fit in with everybody else, but you do notice that you do look different, because we were living in like rural Ireland, you know. Up until my siblings came in, I was the only black kid in the school, like in secondary school. So that's difficult in and of itself, but you don't really understand why you're different. So you're always wanting to like fit in, you're always wanting to be like in one with everybody else, but you just kind of feel a little bit different, but you don't really know why. And then you go into like, you know, you're in uni, you have other people that look like you. I mean, I've had it with church, I've had other people that look like me, but then I don't feel like I can express the way I want to express, because the way I've lived is very different from how they've lived. Or, you know, I've always felt slightly just like to myself, hence why I think introversion was just maybe what was just naturally me.
Okay. But so you're unpicking now as an adult what the impact of all that was,
yes,
on who you became.
Exactly, definitely. And I think maybe that's why psychology was just such a huge part of wanting to like understand the world. But I think mostly I just really wanted to understand myself. Yeah.
Okay, let's have a listen. This is Tolan McKay's second choice, Strawberry Swings by Frank Ocean. Stop, you're killing us, Frank Ocean. That's Strawberry Swings there. That's Tolan McKay's second choice. Tolly, your third song, it's from 2011. It's Adele, Don't You Remember.
Yes.
Why this?
I sang this at a competition for Midlands Got Talent, and which was a competition that I won. I actually won it with Etta James at last. But this song, the reason why I picked this song was because, like, I will still forever remember all of Adele's songs. Like, if you were to ask me to sing Adele's song, I'll be able to be like, yep, I got it, no problem. I think she was just such a huge part of, there's something so gospel about the way she sings. Again, it's about how she is able to translate emotions with her lyrics. And I've always like resonated with that. I think I find that oftentimes people either listen to the music or they just listen to the lyrics, or it's the emotions that grabs them. And I find with me, it's the lyrics and the emotions before the actual music. I didn't know that that was a thing that people often do, whereby they only listen to the music without actually listening to the lyrics, until I started showing people my music and they're like, oh yeah, this makes me feel. But I'm like, no, but listen to the words. So, but like with Adele, I think it was the first time I was like, this is a voice that I've never heard, but like, I like, it makes me sing with passion. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Was it a big thing to win that competition?
It was a huge thing, absolutely. Because it was the first time I was actually able to see that I could make money from singing.
Yeah.
Because when I won the competition, I can't remember how much it was, but I remember I was able to give half of it to my mom and able to use half of it for getting accommodation in Galway and going into uni. So that was a big deal for me.
Okay, so it was substantial.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And I remember it was such a big deal. Shout out to my mom, by the way, because she got like a whole bus full of kids and their parents to come down to Clara to vote for me, because the finals, you had to get people to come in and vote for you. She literally got like a whole poster made, like A2 posters made and put out in the school. I did not know about this until I started walking into school and my face is everywhere. But like, it just reminds me of like that time in my life where I was going like competitions to competitions, like just in like rural Ireland.
And was your mother really supportive always of your dreams? Yeah.
She was very supportive. Like, my mom is a sports mom. Like, she was in sports.
Yeah.
Very accomplished in sports, by the way. She actually was, what's it called, sponsored to play softball, and took out of from her country to play in Massachusetts. Like,
she
did well for herself. So she always encouraged us to like be in something that we loved and to try and take it as far as possible.
Did she try and push you towards sport first?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got me into the 1500s. I was not good at that. 800, no. Not good at that. Long jump, not good at that. Music was my calling,
so
I
you
think.
You found your thing, though, yeah. Did your mother move back to Nigeria before COVID, didn't she?
Yeah, she did, yeah.
You must miss her a lot, do you?
I do. I think that's why I like to... I think more than ever, I've been asking myself, you know, what's the reason why I'm doing music? And, you know, with, you know, being on the show and picking out the music, it's actually made me really reflect and think, like, you know, this... It all started from childhood, you know. And wanting to be seen, wanting to be loved, but also giving back that love with people that have always been there for me, including my mother.
Do your family in Nigeria kind of have an understanding of the impact you've made here?
I don't think they know.
No?
I don't think they know, honestly. Like, my mom hasn't seen me perform since before COVID. And... like, to think about the trajectory of like everything that I've done so far, I don't think she's able to like encapsulate like how big of a moment it was, especially with the whole N17 thing. I think it was until like her friends were like sending her like newspaper articles and things, but like, it's not the same as being present and seeing it, because I would have loved to like carry her around, taking her to all the shows that I'm doing, you know, to just travel with me to see. And hopefully, I'm hoping that that's something I'll be able to do.
When did you leave the church?
I'd say like 2018, when I decided to come to Dublin. The city
was
center.
That hard for you? Because you were saying like that was your whole...
Yeah, that was my whole life. I wanted to become like a whole gospel singer. Again, this is why maybe I sing or write about like my experiences, because I just really want a deep understanding of like myself and just life in general. Because with, you know, how I was brought up, not that it was wrong or bad or anything, but I wasn't able to learn how to think or view of the world for myself. Maybe that's why I was drawn to philosophy as well, because I was just like, oh, that's an interesting way of thinking about life or thinking about how society could be formed. Because when you're brought up within a certain type of like religious context and you were never able to maybe question it, this is the only way that you view things. So you're always living in a life of like, what is good, what is bad. And I was always itching for more. So when uni came around, that was the first time I had that form of freedom.
Still, it must be scary and lonely too, if you've been surrounded by that and it's a whole way of thinking and a way of
100%.
Life. You're breaking out in your own.
100%.
Yeah.
Hence why I guess, you know, being, again, identity crisis, trying to figure out who I am, not really fitting in anywhere, trying to figure out, you know, where I fit in, not knowing who to speak to about certain things because, you know, you've lived a certain way. So it's, that's why I put it into the music and everything.
Yeah. So is it the music is your kind of therapy for all of that kind of stuff you're talking about?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And what else helps you in times of uncertainty or when you're trying to figure out all that stuff?
I think now I have to like find something else. I have to find like a hobby of a sort, because now the music has become my full-time job. I'm like, I need something else.
Oh, yeah. Because it's ruined for you now. Yeah. Go back to the running. Long jump, maybe.
Maybe long jump.
And then another brave thing you did was you kind of took a choice. You were working for Google, a good, solid job in Google, and you decided, I'm going to give music a go.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first time I realized, okay, I think maybe I should start, this is just being ridiculous. It was I had a gig with Windmill Lane, and it was during my break, during while I was working in Google. And it was a 30-minute set, and I calculated it like perfectly, so that like once I'm done, like when it's time for my break for lunch, I was able to go do the gig, come back, and be
literally in your lunch break.
And
okay.
I was doing gigs whereby like I'll go do a gig in Workman or like open up for someone or whatever, like not every evening, but like I just wasn't getting enough sleep. I wasn't living a life that I kind of like wanted. And I was like, you know what, let's pause. Because someone explained to me that what I was kind of going through was burnout, but I didn't have the word for what it was. I just knew that there was a time where like I crashed out and I couldn't move or get out of my bed for like a week. And I knew it was something mental, but I just didn't know what it was. So I was like, you know what, I need to figure out what this means. Let's just take a pause. Let's take a break. Let's try and give this music thing just 1 year of my life and really commit, which was 2019, right up to the end of before N17 took off. And it was tough. It was hard. You know, the whole pandemic happened. Money wasn't coming in. I was unsure of what was going to happen. But I knew I just needed to give myself that year. And my thing is, if you're not happy with something, you always have a chance to just try and do something else. Like the fact that you're alive means that you can pivot and do something else. Like you just have to make that decision. So I just took the leap of faith and I just closed my eyes and went for it.
Yeah. You had to do it though, didn't you?
I had to do it. Yeah.
Okay. Your fourth choice is something different again, but it's Swedish Eurodance. No, You're Gone by Bass Hunter.
Yeah. That was, it reminds me of, you know, when people would go to, is it arcades or like the outside where there's like roller coasters and.
Yeah, funfair.
Funfairs, yeah. So like, again, I was very sheltered when I was young, but funfairs was like the thing that you'd like go to during summertime. It just reminds me of such a happy like moment in my life. And this song will not leave me alone.
Okay.
Because it's the one that I always remember. Now you're gone.
And joy, yes, in this for you.
Yeah.
As against like that music that's always banging. Whenever exactly. You go to the funfair, there's contrasting and exactly. Clashing rave
chaos.
Music. Yeah, from each ride. Okay. All right. Well, let's give people a wake up. So a bit of Bass Hunter, Now You're Gone.
Now you're gone, I realize my love for you was strong, and I miss you here, now you're gone. I keep waiting here by the phone, with the pictures hanging on the wall. There's an empty place in my heart, without my honor it will break apart. It won't heal, it never fades away. I'll go crazy. Now you're gone. Now you're gone. I realize my love for you was strong, and I miss you here. Now you're gone. I keep waiting here by the phone, with the pictures hanging on the wall.
Okay, that's enough of that. We don't want to scare the horses. Now You're Gone by Bass Hunter, and that's Tony McKay's fourth choice. She was actually like full on hands in the air, four to the floor here in the studio, brought her right back. So then something different again, your final piece, and this is something that you open all your shows with. You're doing your first headline gig in how long in November?
In 3 years. So this will actually be my first time sharing it online with people. So I'm going to be doing a gig, my own show finally, in 3 years, November 21st in Whelans. And I'm really excited about it. I'm still working it out. I don't have a name for it yet, but I think it'll be something along the lines of like becoming, or, you know, coming out of a shell or whatever. But I'm really excited about it.
Have you been quiet recently?
I've been very quiet. I know that I am busy, or I look busy, because I'm always like gigging and doing different things. But in terms of like my own creativity, you know, writing my songs or releasing music, I haven't released music in like 3 years. I don't know how people haven't noticed, but I'm happy about that.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, you know, with being a creative, it's something that feeds you. And if you don't do it for a while, sometimes you feel like, am I good at it? You start questioning yourself. But I think it was time that I needed to kind of step away and really ask myself again, why am I doing what am I like what I'm doing? I really want to enjoy the process of being a creative, you know, writing music, singing music, being with other artists and, you know, just singing for the sake of singing because you love it. So that's what I'm bringing back to my creativity. And I think I needed that time to really think, because success is great. But sometimes if you haven't worked out a few things that's going on in your own mental space, you often can sabotage it without really realizing.
In what way?
Just not giving it the love that you once gave it. Because, like, you have to ask yourself, like, how did you or why did you start? What was it that made you become where you are now? And if you don't know what that thing is, you can slowly find yourself stepping back or just not enjoying the process of it anymore, or not having boundaries with how you want people to perceive your work, or not knowing how to express how you want it to be perceived. And then all of a sudden, it's not your vision the way you want it to
be. Okay, so you got lost somewhere.
I got lost somewhere.
Yeah. You have new music coming?
I do. I'm really excited. So that's going to be coming out in September. It's going to be called My Eyes Are Open. Again, I think it's very
okay. There's a theme for it, exactly.
But I think I'm just a big I think my music, I just really wanted to reflect, you know, taking chances, understanding that life has its ups and downs, and just being open with, you know, sharing that life that I do have as openly and as vulnerable as I possibly can. But, you know, looking at it from a positive point of view.
So you're back with a bang,
back with a bang. I don't think bang, sure.
Yeah. You're moving to London as well?
Yes. So September, yeah, like I said, I just want to like be in space of like a lot of creativity. I want to be challenged. I want to grow. I want to know more about, like, you know, music. Like when I was growing up, apart from church, I didn't learn like music theory, nothing like that. Everything I've been doing is honestly from the passion of my own heart, and just feeling music. And I just want to get back into that.
Is here a bit too small for you?
I did not say that.
Yeah, okay. But I think a lot of people, if you want to really kind of take music, a career to the next level.
I want to feel like I'm floating.
Yeah. So tell me about Atuaba by Tony Allen.
Yes. Atuaba by Tony Allen. So Tony Allen used to be the drummer for Fela Kuti, and he wrote this song, I don't know when, but I remember in 2017, I was asked to be part of a choir or a band that was working with Africa Day. And we were to perform. Atuaba was one of the songs on the list, but it was a very difficult song to learn because it's very colloquial Yoruba, and like to the point that I had to ask my mom what it meant. And it's written in like proverbs almost. So like it's like a sentence in like one word that has different metaphors. So it was very difficult for her to translate as well. But we didn't sing it for Africa Day, but since 2017, it's always stuck with me. So it's up until maybe, I'll say 2021 is when I started like actually going back and like listening to it. And again, it just brings me back to my love for just blending different things that reminds me of who I am in my totality, or different parts of me that I'm starting to understand. But the song basically means, no matter how difficult the road may be, may it come with ease. May the journey be easy for us. It's basically a prayer. And I just found that so sentimental. And before I think no matter where you're performing or if you love what you do, especially if you're like singing songs that are so heartfelt that does make people cry, because people do cry at my shows. I'm very intentional to make sure that I also hold space for myself to breathe first and then go into my sets. So this song is just a reminder for me to take time for myself, be calm, enjoy this. Because when I started like going and doing like festivals, which is very different from church, I used to get very anxious, and I wanted everything to be perfect.
So this is your settler?
This is my settler before I get in, even though it's like I get drums and it's huge and loud and big. But it just reminds me to, you know, have that presence and, you know, you're here for a reason and just go for it and have
fun. Okay. And you wouldn't sing it for me the last time. And you're not going to sing it for me today either. We'll let Tony Allen do it. Tolu McKay, thank you so much. Good luck with the new music. Good luck with the gig. And good luck with your life in London. I hope you're not gone from us entirely.
No.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll play out on Atuwaba by Tony Allen. Thanks, Tolu.
Oh no!